should a student master one maneuver before moving on?
Well, if you ask the FAA and their 141.
Partial panel training for private pilots. Is it necessary at the private pilot level, or is it overkill to try and do partial panel?
Is it necessary? Unusual attitudes in private pilot training. Should CFIs teach upset recovery or wait till commercial CFI?
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, I see. You thought I was going to say awesome and amazing?
Is it not amazing?
It's amazing as okay, well. I just had to make sure. Well, thank you so much for joining us again today. Today, we are actually going to talk about some common CFI debate questions. And a lot of these, actually, I would love to have another CFI in here that just like feels the total opposite of me. And just like we can just go out and go crazy.
You're looking for Eric.
You know what? He would be perfect for this.
Good for Eric.
But today, since we've got one CFI and one private pilot, we're just going to talk about some differences of opinion that we might have. And I'm just going to tell you how I feel about these things. So let's start off with
VFR flight following.
Ooh.
Do you think it should be required during your training or just encouraged?
Required. Go ahead, ask the question.
Why?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. Definitely should be required. I don't think it's needed all the time when you start your initial training, per se, if you're just flying around locally and your CFI is doing it, but it's another set of eyes out there. Why not have another set of eyes?
Yeah, you know what's also not needed? A light-speed headset. But you know what's really nice to have?
A light-speed headset. Yeah. I wouldn't say it should be required in training from like the FAA's perspective. I think you need to have options, right? But I think that everybody who trains should be using flight following whenever.
Comfortable asking for it.
Oh, you should be comfortable asking for it. You should be comfortable getting it on the ground, getting it in the air. You should be comfortable using it. There's a lot of people that go through flight training and either barely ever did it in their flight training because they only fly between uncontrolled airports. They don't like talking to anybody on the radios, or they just are not comfortable talking to people on the radios. You need to get comfortable. Remember, we've talked about this like 5 episodes in a row, I think, besides maybe the last one. Get comfortable talking to controllers. They're just people like you and I. Now, granted, I would be scared talking to Carson too. Look at him. Yeah.
That was my scary face.
That was a scary face. So next one, let's see if you can answer this one, Carson. It's a really basic answer, actually. Power off or power on landings. Should students learn to land with full idle or carry a little power?
I'd say carry a little power.
And my answer is, it depends what airplane you're flying.
Okay, that does make sense. You know, a Cessna will float a little bit more. And if it's a Piper, you know, odds are they're going to end up slamming it if it's completely full idle and, you know, it just hits that point where there's no more airspeed.
If you fly certain airplanes and try to go full idle, you will slam it on the ground.
Yeah.
Or stall very quickly.
We always talk about Pipers dropping like a brick.
Yeah. I mean, you can land with no power and you can just keep your airspeed up.
And once you get, you know, better handle, not quite a mastery, but a better handle on the airplane, you'll have a good idea of exactly how much you need and, you know, what weather conditions require what power.
Yeah. If you're in crosswind landings or something, you might need power.
You might need a good amount of power sometimes.
Depending on how much wind there is, yeah.
But I think for a student, carrying a little bit of power, especially when they're flying solo, is good.
Don't listen to non-CFI Carson on that one.
Okay, here's my opinion, though. Yeah, you want someone with conflicting opinion?
Yeah, you do. Sounds conflicting already.
Sounds conflicting. But I think, you know, when a student's coming in and they make a mistake, instead of going from full idle to full power, you know, it's a little bit easier for them to make that gap.
You should never go from full idle to full power, Carson, except for a takeoff.
For a go-round?
Or a go-round, yes, I guess.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Prove my point. Thank you.
On to the next one.
Partial panel training for private pilots. Is it necessary at the private pilot level, or is it overkill to try and do partial panel?
Is it necessary? No, I don't think it's necessary.
Is it good?
Of course it's good. you should feel that airplane. You should know what it's like to make a 10 degree, 20 degree, 30 degree turn. You should be able to feel that. You should be able to feel what.
At what point do you think the student should start doing it though?
Post solo, maybe during check ride prep.
Okay.
Or during your hood time. Your hood time would be a really fantastic time.
Yeah, that would be
also
a good time.
Also okay. At night. Night would be a fun one too.
Just have a good feel for, you know, how much you're turning.
And I mean, not just turning. Point. I mean, it's and climbing.
Yeah, everything.
As long as you're with a flight instructor and
during it's under straight and level flight.
Straight and level flight. Cover up some of the instruments with the hood and let them feel the airplane and see what happens when they start feeling the airplane.
And actually flying by the seat of your pants?
Literally flying by the seat of your pants. I mean, don't cover up all the instruments, obviously. Give them some things to be able to cross-check, right? You could cover up the artificial horizon, leave the DG.
Well, it's really good to know, you know, when the plane's actually straight and level, when you're not climbing, you know, what it looks like to actually look outside the plane and get a feel for things instead of just staring inside the cockpit all the time.
Well, you should not be staring at the cockpit because you're flying VFR. You should be looking outside at all times. You should be using those
instruments. But you know how hard it is for a student to look out of the plane sometimes?
It's very difficult for a student to look outside the plane. And me, when I'm flying VFR, I'm like, ooh, I want to go look at everything outside. It's so
pretty.
Cool.
Yeah, I know. Because everyone talks about how pretty it is. And then you're a student and you're just like looking at everything all at once and you don't have a scan yet. And
yeah, there's no scan. You got to develop that scan.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work.
It does. Until you get like me, Carson.
One day can much be just like all. You, Brandon.
You know, you'll be blessed.
Yeah, my mom won't think so, but...
Blessed. You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's up, Brandon.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
Next question. Unusual attitudes in private pilot training. Should CFIs teach upset recovery or wait till commercial CFI?
They should absolutely do it during private.
Absolutely, I agree.
Absolutely. But the student also has to do it the right way.
By the way, I believe they're supposed to do it per the ACS.
I am 99% sure.
I am 100% sure.
Okay, I'll trust you, the CFI. But students should do it the right way. Don't try and cheat. I remember I tried to cheat on it.
Yeah, you try to look out the little part of...
Yeah,
it actually messes you up more.
It does. And my instructor before you is Anthony. And he brushed up against my leg to touch the trim wheel. And the first thing I did was try and fix the trim.
And he didn't mess it up at all.
He didn't mess it up at all. He was just trying to see if I would cheat. And I learned right away when I reached for that and he slapped my hand and looked at me. He was like, I didn't touch it at all. He's like, you were cheating. I was like, okay, you got me on that one.
Yeah, that is
funny. That's fair.
So the answer is yes, you should learn unusual attitudes. It's needed for your check ride. And if that is actually a debate question, I would be surprised. But you never know nowadays. People debate all sorts of weird things.
I think spins should be something taught during private pilot training.
Now that should be the question. Should spin recovery be taught?
I absolutely think so.
By the way, it is taught, but should you have to do the maneuver?
Should you have to actually go through it instead of just hearing the word pair?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think you absolutely should.
Let's see if Carson still remembers the pair acronym.
Yeah, power idle, ailerons neutral, rudder opposite, elevator up, down, left, right. What was the?
elevator to break the stall and then slowly pull back.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yes.
Okay, I got par. Oh, par.
Yeah.
I love getting pars.
Yeah, he's got one or two in his lifetime on the golf course.
Hey, I got three.
Did you get three so far?
Yeah, the last time we went, I got two back to back.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I know.
Oh,
then nice. Like three bogeys. It was a good day.
That's actually a really good day.
I know. That was a really good day.
Yeah.
Compared to the time before that, I lost 20 balls.
Yeah. I actually only lost one ball when I played with my neighbor.
Yeah?
Yeah. This isn't a golf podcast, though, guys. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about what?
Airplanes.
What do you think about spin training?
I think that we should do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really do. I think that over time, it is a skill that people are so afraid of spins. They should understand what it feels like to start getting into one.
And have to stop it before you get there.
Stop it. Well, they should know that already just by training on stalls. But you should really start to feel what a developed spin looks like and to get out of it very quickly. And the reason why they don't teach it is because now in the private pilot ACS, they teach you not to get into a stall in the first place, which is valuable. I still teach full stalls as well as how to not get into a stall in the first place. So I like doing both, but why not throw in the spin side so people aren't deathly afraid of it if it ever happens to them?
Yeah, it's nothing to
do. You want somebody to freak out when it actually happens and they screwed up because we're humans? No.
It's not that big a deal. It's kind of fun.
It is kind
of under the right conditions.
Under the right conditions.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world to get into a spin. It's really easy to get out of one, especially when you have a plane that can handle it. But I think that's another thing. A lot of flight schools don't want someone doing a spin in their airplane.
I know
you didn't.
No, I don't like it because it's
really good for the gyros, right?
Yeah, it's good for everything, of course.
Okay. Here's one that you might have experience with. Repetition versus forward progress. Should a student master one maneuver before moving on?
Well, if you ask the FAA and their 141 regulations,
they say yes.
They pretty much say yes.
Yeah.
They're not fully saying yes, but they are telling you you have to use a syllabi.
And you syllabi, make sure you at least get one or two, whatever the rating
is. It depends on whatever
kind,
syllabus you're using. Could be.
You have to get like acceptable or good or mastery.
Yeah, on the lesson. Before
you can the next lesson.
Complete that lesson, right?
So if you're just excellent, that's why 141 could potentially be cheaper than Part 61. But that's assuming
I would argue it will never be cheaper.
Yeah, that's just assuming that you get everything right the first time.
Even if you got everything right the first time, it's still not cheaper.
Really?
Yeah, no matter what. I've looked at the math every time.
You mathed it out?
It looks like you save time, but you never do. It doesn't change anything. It makes you spend more time on other things and less time on certain things.
Well, you should type on our next question for our next time we do this. Of 141 versus 61. I want to hear your thoughts on it now.
Oh, we could go. Yeah, that is a good one. I like forward progress because I think you can keep on trying to teach somebody something repetitively and they can't get it, right? But if you go and teach them some other skill that correlates with that, now they can understand it a little bit better. And now you can go back to that skill and now they've got this like correlative idea and they can put two and two together and now they can master that original thing that they had difficulty with.
That's actually what I was thinking of, was the way that I understood landings and that day that it finally clicked for me about, you know, pitch, power, altitude. And I could actually do slow flight really well after that. Like slow flight was a huge problem for me. I would go up and I'd go down, power in, out. It would be a mess.
Yeah.
And once that landings clicked for me, I was like, oh, that's how you do slow flight. This makes sense now.
Yeah. And after you get really good at it, you can just, at least on some 172s, depending on which model, you just go like 2.5 swipes on the trim and go to like 1700 RPM and it'll just wallow.
Yeah. Yeah. First time Brandon showed me that when I was still having problems with slow flight, I was just like, dude, you're just showing off.
I mean, well, not showing off. It's just like, no, just you're making it harder on yourself.
Yeah. You overthink things sometimes.
Yeah. Actually, I would say that is a huge thing that students do. They overthink everything and everything's normally a lot more simple than it really is.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, just like, flaps down, 1700, two swipes of trim. At least that's what I think.
Look at you chair flying right now.
I haven't done that in a while. I know, I'm chair flying. So I would say that's a big impactful one.
So you're a decent CFI.
Oh, I'll take decent. It's better than most. Better than most. Thank you again for listening to us today. If you would like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us on our emails, Brandon@aviationmentors.com, Carson@aviationmentors.com, or for our producer, Mark, if you would like to be a guest of ours, it's producer@aviationmentors.com. Also, please do not forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, share, all the things you're supposed to do on social media, including YouTube, if you're watching us there, or LinkedIn. That we're actually getting more and more responses on LinkedIn. Thank you for the numerous people that have now reached out to us on LinkedIn. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. So thank you again for helping us grow the podcast and more importantly, helping us grow the aviation community at large.
Thank you, everybody. And as a wrap up for today, remember, here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.
See ya.